Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to The Diplomat, brought to you by Newsweek. I'm your host, Jason Greenblatt. With tensions rising across the world, diplomacy is needed perhaps now more than ever. During my time as former White House Middle East envoy and as one of the chief architects of peace between Israel and its Arab neighbors, I've had the chance to witness the power of diplomacy firsthand, and today I would like to share that perspective with you. Shalom, salam, and welcome to The Diplomat. Today I interviewed Manuel Rabate, the director of the Louvre Abu Dhabi. I got to go to the Louvre Abu Dhabi when I worked at the White House. Beautiful place, beautiful building, and a great city. Manuel, welcome to The Diplomat on Newsweek.
Thanks, Jason. Indeed, I wish we could be together in Abu Dhabi, in the Louvre Abu Dhabi.
Where I want to start, I guess, is I'm a dad. I'm a dad of six, and we've taken vacations all over the world. And one of the things that I always do is, you know, we do exciting things, rappelling, ziplining, whatever. But in my very extensive planned itineraries, I always tell my kids, if you want to do that, you also have to go to museums. And some of my kids like museums. Some of them, let's just say, like it less. But one of their favorites was the Louvre in Paris. I was curious, what made the Louvre decide to expand outside of France? And where are the Louvre museums located?
Interesting enough, I would start by answering to your craving for adventure, because I think one of the beauty of Abu Dhabi as a destination is that you can do all of this and then go to the Louvre Abu Dhabi. You know, we are very close to the sea and very close to the desert, so you can definitely have several level of experiences. The Louvre Abu Dhabi was actually born out of a meeting point between Abu Dhabi and France. It is initially not France who went to Abu Dhabi. It is Abu Dhabi which was thinking its future and developing its master plan as a city. This is the capital city of a very powerful state called the United Arab Emirates. So Abu Dhabi in its development used the Guggenheim Bilbao example of how important museum can really structure a city and participate to its expansion. So Louvre Abu Dhabi is part of this very rich ecosystem of museums. Today we exist, but close to us we have the Guggenheim Abu Dhabi being built, and the Zayed National Museum, which is also almost ready. So for the Louvre, it was about accepting and challenging and stimulating a proposition by Abu Dhabi and to decide to have the first Louvre, international Louvre, outside of France. There is a Louvre in Paris, the biggest museum in the world. And there is also a Louvre in Lens, which is a region in the north of France. This is within the French system of museums and so on. But Louvre Abu Dhabi is a specific museum which was created by this encounter.
And what are some of the unique aspects? Of course, I toured it, but I, unfortunately, because I was working at the time, I think I had only about an hour or so within the museum. And, you know, what struck me, of course, is as soon as you approach the museum, you see this incredible architecture. What are some of the unique things about Louvre Abu Dhabi that differ from other museums in the city, as well as the Louvre itself in Paris?
And also the first magnificent trait of the museum is its architecture, and Jean Nouvel, French Pritzker Prize architect, has dreamt what I call the museum city. Because in any classical museums, you have rooms which are connected. But in our case, it's a connection of small buildings and houses, which are actually composing a Medina, an Arabic city, and on the top of which almost floating is a dome made of metal and 8 layers of stainless steel and aluminium allows the sun to go through and to give a fantastic experience of what we call the rain of light. So this is the main feature, this dome, which is completely immersive on this museum city. The second absolutely specificity of the Louvre Abu Dhabi is to be a universal museum of the 21st century. Universal museum, it's one of the categories of museums. The Smithsonian, the Met, the Louvre, of course, in Paris, the British Museum, the Hermitage, all these museums which are open to the world, gathering knowledge on art history with all, questioning all civilizations and bringing objects together to offer them to the public. In all the museums that I've quoted, there is this organization of knowledge by specificities, by speciality. Dutch painting of the 18th century, Oriental archaeology, Egyptology, etc., etc. In the Louvre Abu Dhabi, because we have the name of Louvre, which is the museum of the museum, and because we have Abu Dhabi, which is this hub of the world in the heart of the Arab world, we have reinvented the Universal Museum to tell a connected history. So, to make it simple, you walk in the galleries as if you were walking through times. We have a chronological approach. So all civilizations, all speciality, all types of artworks are put together to allow the visitor to understand the passing of time, the pulse of time. So you walk through 6,000 square meters of galleries, but you also walk through 10,000 years of history. And this walk allows you to understand what's happening in China at this time and what was happening in America, what was happening in Europe, and of course always also in the Arabian world. So this capacity to bring together all the artworks and to tell a story of humanity is really what makes Louvre Abu Dhabi special.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because it struck me when I visited, and this is before the Abraham Accords was really on the horizon, even though it was our dream, that during my tour I noticed a Jewish exhibit. And I remember after leaving the museum calling my wife and saying, I can't believe it. In the UAE, in this museum in the Louvre, they have this Jewish exhibit. It really gave me, you know, of course, I had heard from the leadership and all that about how they wanted more peace and things like that. But seeing that, touching it, I didn't, you know, break the glass, don't worry about it. But I felt that we are really on the right path here. Tell me how that happened.
This is completely rooted in the DNA of Louvre Abu Dhabi. As I was explaining, we are putting artworks, so masterpieces of humanity, together in the same rooms and sometimes the same showcases. So showcasing these communalities, this connection, this exchange, this transmission of pattern of forms is definitely what we do in the galleries. So of course we start history by the history of representation and the religious phenomenon is one of the sources of artistic inspiration. So definitely very quickly in the story, it's all about storytelling. In the story, we reach the moment where we can express, and this is something which is very important for the UAE, which in the vision, I would say, of the leadership of the country to allow this very tolerant discourse. So we show all the religious expressions, and what is very touching, and indeed one of the elements which leads to the Abrahamic Accord, or I wouldn't say it's the Louvre Abu Dhabi that you created, but it's definitely one of the milestones on the road to the Abrahamic Accord, that the capacity to put together in one of the beautiful rooms, we have this Torah close to Bible, close to the Quran, close to also some other sacred texts from other religions, and showing them all together in respect because of their beauty, because of what they mean, not giving theology or an orientation, we're not judging. We're presenting them, and we're presenting them in a balance. And this is really the importance that comes with tolerance, which is a balance, capacity to understand, capacity to be surprised, to be seduced, to be moved, because these objects are beautiful. This is definitely one of the striking elements of Louvre Abu Dhabi. We've done that from the beginning. This was really part of the when we opened in November 2017. We had this big room dedicated to the universal religions, and that was one of the striking elements, as you said. But today we even always go in perspective, and for instance, thanks to the Louvre, we have right now on display alone from Jordan, it's a relief with a menorah, which is from the collection, so from Jordan, which is shown also in the gallery, in the archaeological places of the gallery.
All the more reason for me to get there. We're going to take a break. You have been listening to The Diplomat, brought to you by Newsweek.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to The Diplomat, brought to you by Newsweek. I do agree, by the way, it was steps on the road. So I think the Louvre and certainly the UAE was key in paving the way towards the Abraham Accords. Let's talk about culture.
Sorry, Jaden, if I may, because I'm talking to you from the Louvre, but from my office, and if I turn my chair to look at the other direction, I will see the Abrahamic House, which is another manifestation of the Abrahamic Accord. And the Abrahamic House is this great project on Saadiyat. So Saadiyat is the island. Abu Dhabi is an archipelago made of several islands, and the Louvre Abu Dhabi is one of them, called Saadiyat. You have the Louvre Abu Dhabi, and at almost walking distance, we have the Abrahamic House, which is a place, a gathering, a synagogue, a church, and a mosque, sharing the same architects, sharing the same design, and the same balance between the three places of cult. So this is not a museum, this is a place of cult, but this is also part of the Abrahamic approach.
No, great point. In fact, I remember, again, before the Abraham Accords was anything but a dream and an aspiration, hearing about the Abrahamic House from Sheikh Abdullah, the foreign minister, and from Ambassador Yusuf Al-Attiyah, and it was very moving, and it sort of took my breath away. And of course, now people think it's routine and it's normal because you have kosher food in the UAE and you even have synagogues, but back then, it wasn't so long ago, these were remarkable steps. So I give the leadership in the UAE tremendous credit for paving the way to the Abraham Accords and to peace in the region. There's still a lot more work to do. Let's shift to culture. So Abu Dhabi is a city on the move, a big focus on culture. It is a strong cultural scene. How much of a role does the Louvre Abu Dhabi play in that?
Abu Dhabi, Louvre Abu Dhabi is definitely part of the cultural strategy of the Emirate, and I would say we are one of the flagships of a very rich fleet. The Emirates is investing a lot in the creative industry, so from the movie industry to the book industry to the and and to the touristic industry and to the museums. So I think there is a transformation happening, and we are part of it. Louvre Abu Dhabi participates to the attractivity of the city, to the fact that we are enriching the experience that you can have in the city. We're also participating to the educational transformation. First, maybe because we are creating a new generation of Emirati museum specialists. So this is really the staff which is being, you know, specialists of this kind of super structure, super museum. But it's also all the education segment, all the educative ecosystem that we are fertilizing by offering our content, our artworks, but also our visits and so on. So we are witnessing a fantastic transformation towards the art and culture, and we are happily part of it.
And you mentioned education. What about education? Does it play a role in the education of the next generation of the Emirati kids?
Definitely, it's. I think the Louvre Abu Dhabi is one of the fantastic gifts given to the kids here. I'm a little frustrated because during COVID crisis we had to, of course, to stop the visits, but before and now we're getting back to that. We had about 25-30 groups of school kids visiting every day. So you can imagine the importance it has in the curriculum for all the children. And through the museum, they could understand, of course, history of art, but also history and beauty and so on. So I think having access to a museum which is telling the story of the world is a fantastic civic tool and a fantastic educational tool. So we are definitely very very strong in that. We have also a very specific place in the museum called the Children Museum, which is in a way summarizing this education core mission that we have at Louvre Abu Dhabi. So it's really a full space dedicated to educators and family, and in a way it's also giving the keys to families or to people who would not be that used to go to museums, and not to slap them in the face to tell them you should know, but to offering them capacity to have fun, capacity to interact, to share a good moment with their kids, and also to get the keys. So the if I use a big word, the propédeutic or the preparation to the museum is something which can be done in a very pleasant way. We use real artworks, masterpieces actually from our collection or from the loans that we're getting from our French partners. We just put them at the level of the children, and we to capture the attention, we use what we call gamification. So it's many high tech or low tech games. You can win the game only if you look at the artwork. And you were talking about education. Education can be on the civic virtues of understanding the world, understanding your identity. There is also the education of the eye and the education of the creativity. And this comes by looking at artwork. So I think the museum is a place in which you learn how to read the artworks. And the Children's Museum for us is really the first brick into this eye opening.
No, it's a great idea. Maybe you should put a zip line in the back also.
We should. We have been actually considered. You know that what we do is we do a kayak around. So we are on the sea on four angles. So it's really like a castle on the sea. And in any normal classical museum, you have architectural tools. We discovered, because Jean Nouvel invented this museum and put it on the water, we thought with the team, why not use a kayak and do a night night tour of the museum. And honestly, it's breathtaking because it's like a sculpture on the sea, and it's definitely a fantastic. You have the sportive part, but you have also the beauty. And so you turn around and you can see it from angle you couldn't access by foot.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures of people doing it. I regret we spent most of our time in Dubai, which is great. You know, we do love Dubai, but I regret we only carved out about a half a day in Abu Dhabi, which was a mistake. I think when we go back, we're going to have to spend a lot more time and do, you know.
One hour away.
Exactly. So COVID is almost over, we hope, right? You know, we don't want to presume, but I think people are just itching to get out. And it sounds like you guys have quite a number of interesting exhibitions coming up, or new exhibits, I should say. What, if you're allowed to say, are two of your favorite new exhibitions that you're going to, or exhibits in the museum?
So today we have an exhibition we opened a few weeks ago called Versailles on the World, that we do in partnership with Versailles Castle, the Versailles, the museum, the Sun King, and so it's a French-oriented exhibition, but which was imagined by the great curators as a way not to present Versailles. You can go to Versailles in France if you want to see Versailles, but to show how Versailles as a court was one of the places of globalization, and to give it as a way of curiosity and open to the world. So you would see the ambassadors coming to the court, the fascination of the Europeans for the rest of the world, on how it would be transmitted in precious object, in science. We have a full room on the way Europe introduced the pineapple, for instance, which was the most exotic fruit at the time, on how it became a pineapple mania, and you would have that in art history, paintings, and decorative art, just fascinated by this otherness. So using the Versailles as a point, we offer the capacity to think of the curiosity that we have towards our globalized world. For us, it was very important to have this kind of spin during the Dubai Expo, where at one point you summon the world, you invite the world in a place, and you have this access, you have this curiosity. So this is our parallel. We have a fantastic exhibition coming in April, called Stories of Paper, which is going to explore a universal material, the paper. And again, this is about fueling the creativity. So we will show drawings, we'll show burnt paper, paper used as clothing, paper used as revealing, and many ways to show that how the paper, which is an invention based on the vegetal transmission of thought, has been a revolution for humanity, and is still a great source of creativity. There is always a new show or a new exhibition in Louvre Abu Dhabi. So every 3 to 4 months, we offer, in addition to this permanent story of the world, we offer a new exhibition by rotation.
Last question, Manuel. So if I were planning a day in Abu Dhabi, obviously I'd put Louvre Abu Dhabi on the list. Now I'm going to add the kayaking. Can't possibly go there without seeing the mosque, the main mosque there. What else for a family with kids? You know, what else would you recommend to add to that day in this exciting city?
As Louvre Abu Dhabi director, I would say you can stay full day. You could stay the full day in Louvre Abu Dhabi, but I understand this is not the question because you have Phuket, we have a fantastic restaurant, you have so many offer, but I'm not if I broaden, the next island is called Yas Island, and you have a fantastic theme park. Warner Brothers is there, Ferrari Park. So if you want to have fun with your kids, you can definitely go there. If you want to go on a closer to heritage, you could go to Qasr Al Hosn, which is at the center of the city, and they have a great cultural foundation and the children library, which is fantastic. Many books, also places in which kids can have fun and also being provided books to read in a very pleasant environment. If you were to push a little bit further, you could go to Casa Alhuatan, which is a great casa, which means a castle, so a big palace in which the kids could also see exhibition and have fun. So that's only if you stay in Abu Dhabi, and then you could take your kids a little further in the desert to walk in the oasis of Al Ain and to maybe have a sunset on one of the islands. So in Abu Dhabi, what is very exciting is to have this capacity to see several worlds in one day, maybe a little quick, but in a few days you can really be on the sea, be in the desert, go at this innovative universal museum, and have fun in a theme park. All of this in a very short distance.
Well, Manuel Rabaté, thank you for explaining the Louvre. Thanks for explaining its place in history and culture, education, and indeed peace. I really appreciate your time.
Please come and visit. It would be our pleasure to welcome you.
Thank you. So glad that Manuel Rabaté was able to join me for today's podcast. Manuel is the director of the Louvre Abu Dhabi. He was able to give me some insight into the Louvre expanding outside of France. We talked about the importance of the Louvre in Abu Dhabi to its cultural scene, to its educational scene, and it sounds like a great place both for adults and kids to visit. I do look forward to going there again, especially look forward to kayaking around the museum. I saw the pictures of it, never did it myself. It's such a beautiful building, so hopefully I'll have the opportunity to do that and to see some of its exhibits in the near future. If you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to share it with your friends, family, and colleagues. We had so many great guests. If you missed any of them, do scroll back and see what you missed and listen to it and share those as well. And do please pre-order my book, In the Path of Abraham. It's available for pre-order on Amazon. Search In the Path of Abraham or search my name, Jason Greenblatt, in the search bar on Amazon. The book is coming out in June, so it's getting very close. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at GreenblattJD. Until next time, I'm Jason Greenblatt. This is The Diplomat, brought to you by Newsweek.